Hello, everyone, and welcome to our new City DNA video podcast as part of the Power of Community series. The starting points of these vodcasts are new initiatives, campaigns, research projects, or other that leave us asking new questions and can be kickstarters of new curious conversations around the future of city destinations. This series is made together with Group Now, which is also where I'm from. My name is Sine Jong-Estil, and today I'm really looking forward to be speaking with Norbert Kettner, CEO of Vienna Tourist Board, around their new initiative and campaign, United Cities of Tourism. Norbert, welcome.
Hello, Sine. Good to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you very much for being here. I'm so curious to learn more about United Cities of Tourism. What is it all about?
Actually, the idea was not to do a generic campaign. We do this in our presence on digital channels and so on. We all do this. Actually, we have this more or less generic campaigns. We wanted to do something special in this case, a little bit bringing out the idea of city tourism or about the idea of cities, which is the exchange. The cities have always been a huge marketplace for any kind of goods, ideas, but also for people in a good way. And we tried to bring that a little bit back. So bringing on the stage the idea of exchange ideas, people, and also a sort of solidarity, because I think during the pandemic, the cities were not heard enough. So when even on the European level, when we're talking about tourism, it was not so much about the cities. So the cities, because we were always self-sustainable, you know, we did our job. We were globally connected. When there were any difficulties, we tried to solve it ourselves. And this is why we actually got a little bit overseen in the discourse during the pandemic. And with United Cities of Tourism, we wanted really to, of course, have a marketing effect with all the tools we can use in digital world, but also classical out of home, but also to bring in the subtext the idea of solidarity by exchanging our citizens. So we said, okay, for every 100 French or British or German, we send one Viennese person to the respective countries, and they didn't even know where to go. Actually, they, you know, we had 17 cities in the system, mm-hmm. and the people we sent from Vienna, they didn't know which city they go. They went until they got the information from us.
Oh, wow.
So it was a little bit of a quiz as well.
So there's a surprise element. I didn't know that.
Yes.
So, throughout the campaign, how many Viennese residents are you expecting to send abroad?
We got from our partners, Austrian Federal Railways, ÖBB, and Austrian Airlines, 2,200 tickets.
Oh, wow.
We had 16,500 applications in Vienna, which is quite a number. And we had to choose of these 16,500, 2,200 people. And actually, we had to close down the system earlier because there was such a demand for it. So actually, the campaign would have gone 2 further weeks, but we had to close down because we had given away all our tickets. So 16,500 applied, yeah. And 2,200 were sent away or will be sent away.
So people are longing to leave Vienna, but how many did you see to Vienna?
People are longing to travel, actually, which is such a great thing for us to see. People want travel.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you're counting the number of, for example, French visitors to Vienna as part of.
Yes, we have an algorithm behind that. Of course, we have very exact numbers. We have the numbers on a monthly base, but we can even elaborate and make calculations how many are there. It's always, you know, it's not exactly the number, but we have quite good statistics, and so there's an algorithm behind it. And actually, this is the reason why we had to close down earlier, because the people traveling to Vienna, the number is so high right now, especially from Europe, so that we had to cut down the campaign right now.
Actually. That sounds like a success story.
Yeah, so many positive aspects, you know, on the real pragmatic level, but also on the symbolic level. And this is fun. It's a fun campaign also for us, I have to say.
So, and the cities that you partnered with in the first run, at least. There were London, Paris, Berlin, Milan, and Barcelona.
Yes, but these are our main partners. Mm-hmm. In total, 17 cities are participating. So several cities in several nations, actually. But these were our main partners, where we also made that social media swap. We exchanged our social media channels, which was also quite fun, did work out very well.
Was it a challenge to exchange via social media and
swap? I think it's the first time we did it. So it's the first time Berlin took over Barcelona, and we took over London, and Milan took over Paris, I think. And this was a very new thing for all of us. And of course, we are competitors, especially for the business in Europe. Mm-hmm. But we face the similar challenges and so on. I think this idea of co-opetition is a very smart idea, I think.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I was thinking about, because we always like to, and also when I was in a DMO, you'd always talk about competition and how do you benchmark compared to your main competitors. And is this a signal somehow that the era of competition is over, or is it more like keep your friends close and your competitors even closer?
It's not entirely the idea that competition is over. I don't think so. We very much feel responsible for the industry. We very much feel responsible for the well-doing of our industry. But we know that in Europe, we are fishing almost from the same pond.
Yeah.
And we as I told you before, I thought the pandemic showed us that that our links are not strong enough between the cities. So City DNA, you're doing a wonderful job to bring us together. But even on a marketing level, on a more operational level, I think there is some room for improvement, actually, still. So I don't think that competition is completely over. But, you know, with coming up of destination management questions, destination management is not a question of competition. Right. It's a question of exchange and knowledge transfer. Mm-hmm. And it makes no sense to make a secret about your own achievements or also difficulties. And I think this is the new way, or a new way how tourism will work in future in Europe.
That's interesting. So a little bit in that shift we always talk about from marketing to management, or destination marketing to destination management, there is also kind of a shift from competition to more collaboration.
Yeah, and we have a long tradition. For one example, we have a long-standing cooperation with the Convention Bureau of Barcelona, mm-hmm. for many years. A very close cooperation when it comes to congresses, which need several destinations, but in a row. And so we are not competing, but we are making collaborative offers and say, okay, when you come to Barcelona, you know Barcelona, and the next time to Vienna, and the next time to Barcelona. And this works very well. And of course, overseas, we are competitors. That's no question. It's still going on. And I also want to stress out, sometimes in the discussion, there's a sort of distance to marketing. Mm. I don't share this impression. I only say that marketing is changing. So what I mentioned before, that it's not so much about the generic campaign with beautiful pictures. We have this on a digital channels. Mm. That's every day's work. But we need what we call buzz campaigns. Campaigns where it's also fun for my people to work on this, actually.
Right.
And this is very important too, because we all know the discussions of the big resignation and labor market is empty. And yes, it's important to deal with the difficulties, with the challenges, but we also need to have fun sometimes.
Right.
And to win prizes and everything, you know, that's an important thing.
So would you almost say that this becomes more than a campaign? Like, what's your vision with United Cities of Tourism?
I think the idea of collaborating and going more into knowledge exchange has come to stay, actually. Mm-hmm. I don't think that will go away. marketing wise, it's another project which shows our approach to marketing, mm-hmm. that we have to talk about topics which are relevant to our audience. Whether it's our OnlyFans campaign where we were talking about nudity in the arts and censorship in the arts. In this case, United Cities, we were talking of the also about the economic impact of tourism to our cities. Right. So I think this is the essence of it, that and that we need to find topics and themes which are relevant to the audience, sometimes more to a media audience, to be honest, mm-hmm. but also to our potential clients. And right. I think this is the biggest shift we see now. So yes, marketing, a standardized marketing on digital channels all over the year, mm-hmm. With the classic logic, which market, which focus group, but one or two campaigns per year where you're really daring or with a weird angle, strange angles. And I think this is important.
And would you say that it's we've discussed this before as well, but around the value-based approach to marketing, that it's more about connecting through values and messaging than it perhaps is differentiating your product.
Yes, yes. And to be very clear about something, so that not promising everything to everybody, but promising the right things to the right people. Mm-hmm. And we know that my destination or our destination is not attractive for anybody. That's nothing bad. Mm-hmm. If there's a chance, we try to persuade them. But if there's no chance, no, we won't do that.
Right.
So the pond in this case is huge. You know, we still talk about a worldwide outreach, and still very much concentrating on our values, on our core strength, mm-hmm. and communicating this.
So in the campaign, you're referencing the European idea.
Yes.
I'm curious to hear how that also fits into what we're talking about now. What is the European idea and why is that important to you?
To bring back a little bit competition, I'm very competitive when it comes to Europe.
Okay.
What happened at day one of the pandemic was that we smashed our single market. Europe smashed its own single market. And in the first month after the pandemic, when the first lockdowns were stopped and everything, you saw this strong recovery in the US. Mm. You saw a strong recovery in mainland China, which changed afterwards. We know that. Mm-hmm. Because they didn't smash the single market. We smashed our single market. Mm. And we had this, I call it, reprovincialization and renationalization of the discourse, yeah. which was very painful for me. So we had a specific situation in Austria where there were not even camouflage campaigns against the capital city. Mm-hmm. So okay. In the beginning of the pandemic, we hate the city of the concept of cities. We hate multicultural things and so on. We had this. This was a very Austrian discussion, but also on the European level. So the cities were not heard enough. And then we had this situations, opening borders, closing borders with thoughts in the back, you know, you see too many Austrians are going to Croatia. Mm-hmm. Let's close the borders to Croatia, right. So they stay in their own country. Very strange situation, actually. Mm. Also, mostly coming from a political side, which is always stressing the free enterprise and capitalism and so, mm-hmm. But not in this case. So competition is good for the others, not for us.
Right.
And then we had this phenomenon of the borrowed guests, you know, the in our case, the Austrians who couldn't go elsewhere and stayed in the country. Mm-hmm. This was not true for Vienna because we, as a city destination, we couldn't profit of that. But right. some rural areas could very much profit of it, but they were borrowed guests. Mm-hmm. They had no alternative. I am old enough to know a Europe where half Europe couldn't go wherever they wanted. Mm. So I'm old enough. You are not, but I really did not experience it, but I lived in the world like this.
Yeah. So,
we had an idea what closed borders are, mm-hmm. or were in at this time. So, and I really think that the cities are the places of innovation, mm. of social innovation, technological innovation, process innovation, mm. and also now we have to defend the concept of city, because we also have the discussion, or very often we come to these arguments where I have the impression that cities are seen as big villages, mm-hmm. which is simply not true. I grew up in the village. There are 1,000 reasons why I live in the city now and not in a village anymore. And I really oppose the idea that a city is just a big village. No, it's a city is a concept of living together, of seeing different people every day, of seeing people and dealing with people. Maybe you don't agree or even you don't like, mm-hmm. but that's life and that's how society works. And this idea that only accepting people who look the same, who think the same as you, who eat the same, who drink the same, very boring, mm-hmm. very boring.
So the cities also are about diversity.
Yes, it's diversity, actually. Yeah. It's diversity. Yeah. Yeah. But I try to go deeper because diversity is such a buzzword.
True.
It's everything and nothing, you know? Mm. No, diversity is about people who get on your nerves sometimes, and situation who gets on your nerves.
Yeah.
And that's the most normal thing in life, because life is strenuous. Mm-hmm. Your personal life is strenuous. Your professional life is strenuous. But that's a normal situation. This almost, how to say, heavenly idea of living, where mm-hmm. there's nothing which is comes into your path and so on. It simply doesn't exist.
But I think life in villages can also be strenuous.
Of course. There's a nice saying, province is not a place, province is a mindset. Mm-hmm. So you find province also in big cities.
Right.
It's not so much about the location.
Yeah.
And you have great minds in the countryside.
But then I'm curious, because now you're getting me thinking. And I think during the pandemic, one of the things that kind of living in a big city, or a somewhat big city as Copenhagen is, we talked a lot about community and the awareness of your community, which is more like a small village, and getting to connect a little bit more with that than you would have pre-COVID, I think, especially living in a big city. So are we also adopting a little bit of the village mindset into the big cities?
I think so. I think that, and that's a good thing to do, actually, to be aware of your surroundings, mm-hmm. not in an invasive way, you know. Anonymity is also a very important thing in the city, but mm-hmm. providing the possibility of living a connected life, that means connected in a very technical way. Mm. So take care of your public transport, take care of your education system, take care of your cycling path whatsoever, but also on the human level. So give possibility to connect with humans. Mm-hmm. And this is much more complex, actually, than the technical side. Yeah. And I think this is a thing from the good country life that can be adopted in cities as well. Mm-hmm. And cities like Copenhagen or Vienna, which always were top ranked when it comes to quality of life, because sustainability is not only seen on the ecological level, but also on the social level. Mm. So we came better off through the pandemic, I think. And many other cities are now trying to adopt. We see how long these efforts will go on after the pandemic. But I think the most intelligent way to live together is probably in the city. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, that's a big discussion, even also more sustainable in some of the solutions. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, but so there's some experts saying that, and I think this is a very interesting thought. living in the city is sustainable. Living really in the countryside is sustainable. The worst thing is suburbia.
Right.
So this is really the worst development we all have.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not sustainable in any way. You have all the disadvantages. So the city centers have the disadvantages of the commuters, but not the advantages, you know?
Yeah.
When it comes to size. So this, I think, is also sometimes something which will go on, this discussion about that.
Yeah, I agree. I think so too.
Yeah.
But I think one of the other things, and we're actually almost out of time already, but one of the other things that we see now happening again after being home alone in the cities and reconnecting with our neighbors perhaps and getting that sense of community. And now visitors are coming back and there's more and more talk again of visitor pressure. I hear that in several destinations. And so, I mean, as part of the United Cities of Tourism campaign, you're sending people out of the city, which I realize is probably not your solution to visitor pressure.
No, I'm
wondering, what are the discussions in Vienna around sort of the return of tourism? And is this campaign in any way part of sort of signaling a new approach or a change in how you want to approach tourism?
No, I don't think that this campaign is a part of this discussion. I think we're going to have an over-tourism discussion in summer. In Vienna, I have to say, we never had a discussion about the behavior of visitors, just about the masses or the density at some places. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to have this discussion very soon.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only a thing you can do by marketing, actually. What we do by marketing is we're concentrating on topics where we are strong, where we think that we address the right focus groups, culture and convention, of course, to not mentioning other things, you know, or even saying, meanwhile, if you are looking for the cheapest beer, don't come here because we don't have any.
Yes.
Of course, we have cheap beer, but we don't you advertise it in a way.
Yeah.
And then here in destination management, it's a long way, actually, because people became more and more sensitive. The topic we talked before. So how can I stand people who look differently, who speak differently, who behave differently? Mm-hmm. I think it's to a certain extent, it's part of the city life,
mm-hmm.
But there are excesses and we have to concentrate on the excesses.
Mm-hmm.
So is everybody allowed to do his or her business on the street with funny plastic electro mini buses without any license or something? No, we don't think so. So take care of the public space. You have to discuss the things with the people, but there are certain limits, I think. So the limit is when somebody says, I live in a city of 2 million people, but I don't want to see any foreigners. Then we can say, I can't help you.
Right.
And because living in the city and in the center of a 2 million city, it will be crowded sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So our new informal or unofficial mission statement is actually what we are here for. We are here to generate revenues, value added, to generate all year round jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Not to go on to get on the nerves of our inhabitants as possible. Not always. We will not always succeed. And to save resources, doing this by a moderate input of resources.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our new informal or unofficial mission statement.
Right.
And we try to stick to this at least for some years to come.
How has it changed from before?
Not really, actually, because we published our strategy for 25 in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And there were many points I just mentioned were already in there. So sustainability, finding the right leverage for where do you put action with which result?
Mm-hmm.
And very often these connections are not seen on the surface.
Yeah.
Only if you look behind the scenes. And that's what we try to do, actually. But, and I think this is important, we feel responsible for the industry still.
Mm-hmm.
We have discussions where we say, I think you need to change. or we need to change, but it's very clear for us that we have a responsibility towards the industry.
Which you're also signaling with the United Cities of Tourism Initiative, I think.
Yeah, I think so, yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all our time, Norbert, for today.
Okay.
Thank you so much for taking the time to share both the initiative and your perspective on what's happening next for city destinations. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And to everyone else, oh, sorry. And to everyone else who's listening in, I really hope you found it as interesting as I did. And since this is all about the power of community, of city DNA, we'd love to hear your thoughts, your wish list of people we should talk to, or if you're working on anything that could shape the conversation on the future of city destinations, please don't hesitate to reach out to the City Destinations Alliance team. Thank you so much and see you soon.
Thank you.